Chuckers, it's Groundhog Day!
Well, it's Groundhog Day. Again?
I don't believe in the hog, but I like it.
I like it because...
But the hog is out.
It's a whimsical holiday, and so many of our holidays are serious.
He sees his shadow, he doesn't see his shadow. It's nice.
You know, people like blood sausage, too. People are morons.
Now, from the palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
It is delightful to have you with us here. We've got our whole crew, Doc, and we got Max, and we got Lamar, Sherry, and me, Bob Lacey. Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, we had, as I mentioned on the show, my grandson with us for 3 days, and I wanted to do some cool stuff with him. I don't want to stick him in front of the TV and nothing else. So we were outside, we're at parks, we're having a great time, and I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get some popcorn. And we're going to pop it, and he's going to watch how it pops. He'll think it's fantastic. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go to the store, and I'm going to get what I used to get as a kid, Jiffy Pop. If you don't know what Jiffy Pop is, it's this aluminum little pan with a handle. And inside is popcorn, and it has an expanding aluminum cover that gets bigger and bigger and bigger as it pops. And you have to keep moving it so the popcorn doesn't burn. The oil is already in it. Just take off the cardboard top and you watch it pop. So I'm at the popcorn section in the supermarket and I'm looking, and there's Orville Redenbacher, and there's stuff already popped in bags, and the cheddar, you know, cheese type. And there is no Jiffy Pop. I don't think it exists anymore. And it made me sad because it's all microwave and there's nothing cool. You put the bag in. All right. The thing pops. I guess there's a little something there. But the thrill, I can remember as a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, watching that aluminum thing turn into like an aluminum hat with fantastic popcorn inside that we could pour butter on. It was one of the greatest things out of being a kid of my lifetime. And it's gone now forever. And it made me sad. I wanted him to see it.
I wonder if it got gone during COVID, because I remember like my girls wanting to experience that and making that for them. But of course, you know, when was the last time you even thought of Jiffy Pop? Because popcorn is so much easier and different now. I wonder if that's when it got discontinued.
I'm seeing they still make it. It's just not as widely available. Yeah.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. They still make it?
Walmart's got it. Yep. Walmart's got it.
They do?
And you can buy it online too.
Yep.
I'm going to do that the next time that I get it. It was just one of, you know, how when you're a kid, there are just certain things that are just mind blowing to you. Like all of a sudden there's like a carnival that comes to your town. And they've got like the tilt-a-whirl, and they've got three colors of shaved ice with sugar stuff on top of them, blue and red and green. It's just, it blows your mind as a kid.
But you know, it's so different for, like, we always have to remember, I was having this conversation with Karamia a few days ago. Like, you and I weren't born into the same world at all. Like there's an entire universe of experiences that she'll never have. And that's true for me too, because she was born into a completely different world than I was. Like there's some mind blowing stuff out there coming for little Christian. It may not be Jiffy Pop, but it's hard to remember that sometimes.
Yeah. It's more, and I admit people are thinking this right now. It's more about me than it was him. Cause I just, you know, makes me feel good. I just want to pass along something that I loved. And I wonder if I got it, if he would have been as excited about it as I was with everything that he can see and do today.
That's the thing. You have to be ready for it to be like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's it.
And he walks popcorn. Away. Yeah, like it doesn't, exactly. You have to be ready for it to not be as magical as it was for you.
I know it. Yeah, I know it.
So, sadly,
it's good to know.
True.
I'm going to get some. I'm going to Walmart.
Today is Groundhog Day. Let's we got a little Groundhog Day song for you straight ahead. And also Apparently, there's some controversy about letting the groundhog be the one who sees his shadow. We'll catch you up next. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry, go.
Foul rabbit hole.
PETA says that we should not let Punxsutawney Phil out of his cage to see a shadow. Happy Groundhog Day, everybody. PETA says that, quote, Punxsutawney Phil is not a meteorologist, which I think is a fair statement. He is a groundhog. He is a large rodent. Yeah. And he deserves better than to be exploited. PETA says we should use a coin for the gathering instead of letting Punxsutawney Phil come out to see his shadow. This isn't the first time that PETA has tried to get rid of Punxsutawney Phil. They say that groundhogs are naturally shy, solitary animals, and they don't want to be used to predict the weather. And again, I can't argue that. I have no way of knowing what groundhogs want or don't want. But I think it's fair to point out that they are not meteorologists. So who knows what's going to happen when Punxsutawney Phil peeks out of his burrow in just a little bit here. But we have a little Groundhog Day something for you.
And now, with a song about Groundhog Day, Kevin James and Jimmy Fallon.
Well, he ain't the tooth fairy. He won't bring you money. And he don't bring you peeps, cause he ain't the Easter Bunny. There ain't no pot of gold, he ain't a leprechaun. He's a rodent named Phil, and he hails from Punxsutawney. Yes, Groundhog Day, go get your sweater. Watch a buck-toothed beaver predict the weather. It's Groundhog Day, he takes a peek. You might need a jacket for another 6 weeks. I don't watch the news, don't need no Rachel Maddow. I'd rather watch a grown-up Chuck E. Cheese look for his shadow. And Phil's a movie star, he ain't just small and furry. He's in a movie with Andy McDowell and Bill Murray. He's in a movie with Andy McDowell and Bill Murray. He's in a movie with Andy McDowell and Bill Murray. He's in a movie.
Jimmy! Stop it, man, you already said that.
It's Grandma and Dad.
I remember the first day when we pulled him out of the hole.
And he looked at all of us and he said, I'm much more than a mole.
Cause if I see my shadow, well, it's 6 more weeks to chill.
And that's when we all knew it was Punxsutawney Phil.
Go get your sweater. A real life attitude. Predict the weather. It's Groundhog Day. There's our short king. So let's all cross our fingers for.
He's doing his Bruce Springsteen thing there. That's pretty good. That was pretty good.
All right. I've never seen the groundhog's prediction actually be accurate. You know, it's the beginning of February. I think we're probably going to have 6 more weeks of winter, no matter what Punxsutawney Phil does. Go to bobandsherry.com to nominate a teacher to win a vacation from Visit Florida to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach, Florida. We got morons in the news coming up, and we have the People's Movie Critic this week reviewing Griselda on Netflix. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by EveryPlate. Skip the grocery store and save money with EveryPlate.
It's Bob and Sherry.
The craziest.
Moronic.
Asinine.
With morons in the news.
You know, there's a viral YouTube video of a Texas man allegedly reaching speeds of 150 miles an hour on a motorcycle.
Wow.
Now, they've taken it down, but along some of the viewers that saw it were the Colorado State Patrol, which now wants to award the man criminal charges for his driving. Rendon Dietzman, 32, of Justin, Texas, goes by Gixxer Bra on YouTube and posts videos from a camera mounted on his helmet while driving his motorcycle. A video titled From Colorado Springs to Denver in 20 Minutes appeared to show him traveling at high speeds while weaving in and out of traffic. The video has since been taken down, but too late. The cops have already seen it, and they've issued an arrest. Arrest are saying that he violated several laws, put hundreds of people in jeopardy, And being arrested for driving the way Dietzman allegedly did is really the best case scenario, Keltzer said, considering the alternatives that can result in death or serious injury. If you drive like this, you can expect to be arrested when you're located. This is the best outcome for a person who drives like this because the smallest mistake could result in his death or that of an innocent person in the area. We simply have zero tolerance towards someone who blatantly disregards the well-being of the community. Justin is a city in the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area, and the Colorado Patrol said it worked with the Dallas Police Department to identify Dietzman, whose videos appear to show him at one time reaching 180 miles an hour.
Wow.
On a motorcycle?
Yes. He is facing charges of menacing, engaging in a speed contest, reckless endangerment, reckless driving, speeding 40 miles an hour over the speed limit, exhibition of speed and driving without a license plate. Have you ever been going down the road and have somebody pass you on a motorcycle going maybe 100, 120?
Oh, yeah.
It's like by the time you react to it, he's already a quarter mile up the road, and it just makes you jump. And in California, it's legal for them to drive between cars. They don't have to go by the lanes. In California, you can, on a motorcycle, you can go between two cars.
And have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever been on the road when somebody has
been in California? Yeah. She's been in California on a business trip, and she said it's unnerving to be driving, you know, down the road at 70 miles an hour and have a motorcycle come blitzing between you and the car next to you. That's crazy.
The last time that happened to me, I almost wrecked from the shock of it, how fast this person was going. That's insane. Yes. Well, today's moron of the day is going to make dog owners and dog lovers everywhere feel better about the naughty things their dog has done. So a 7-year-old golden doodle in Pennsylvania had a little snack. His people, Clayton and Carrie Law, had some landscaping work done at their house, and they wanted to pay the landscape gardeners in cash. So they went to the bank and they withdrew $4,000 in $100 and $50 bills, and they put the money on the kitchen counter. And Golden Doodle, Cecil, the Golden Doodle, had never been a bad boy before, ever. And then they went into the kitchen, and Cecil, the Doodle, had eaten the money. The wife said, "I thought I was going to have a heart attack." The couple really did it. He really did it.
They tried
to salvage as much of the money as they could from bits that Cecil threw up. And, of course, some of it passed through the dog naturally. And so far, they've been washing the money, cleaning it in the sink, soaking it in disinfectant. And so far, they've been able to recover about $3,500. Mrs. Law said, quote, "I never thought I'd be able to say I've laundered money, but there's a first time for everything." And when you see this dog's face, he looks like he knows he's been a very bad boy, and he's very, very sorry. And he will never eat thousands of dollars in cash ever again if you'll just give him another chance.
How good could it have tasted? Then he went,
$50.
That's so good. Let me have the 100.
You know what I think? I think, my pets do this. If it's on the kitchen counter, even if it doesn't taste good, they assume it's delicious food and they just keep going. Wait till you see the look on this dog's face on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. Don't go anywhere. We have the People's Movie Critic coming up with his review of Griselda on Netflix. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
In South Abington Township, Pennsylvania, a Lackawanna County Animal Shelter is hosting a unique fundraiser that's also an opportunity to have some fun this Valentine's Day. For a $5 donation, The staff at Griffin Pond Animal Shelter in South Abington will happily write the name of an ex-lover, friend, co-worker, landlord, what have you, on a pee pad that the dogs use. This lighthearted fundraiser started last year when the shelter rescued nearly 200 rabbits from a hoarding situation. I can't imagine what that was like. Money raised truly does make a difference, and it helps the shelter carry out its critical mission of giving animals in need of a second chance, the shelter manager said. We're a shelter that's based only on donations. That's how we pay our employees. That's how we buy supplies. That's how we're able to spay and neuter animals, vaccinate, all of that kind of stuff. The fundraiser runs until Valentine's Day. More information can be found online. This seems to be incredibly fun. I can only imagine what would be written on all of these pee pads.
Guys.
I hope they do really well.
We missed such an opportunity when my little dog Sam was with us and he wore his diaper every day of his life. Last Valentine's Day, why didn't we have listeners submit and we could have written their exes on Sam's diaper? You know what? Shame on us, Lamar. Bob, that was a missed opportunity.
We could have had our own names on diapers and sold them to a lot of program directors over the years.
That would have raised
the big
money.
They already did it.
They did it. They did? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Bob and Jerry.
The People's Movie Critic Review on Bob and Sherry is sponsored by Tide. Washing your clothes with Tide on cold cleans great and provides savings for your wallet and the environment.
It's time for the People's Movie Critic and his review of Griselda, starring Sofia Vergara on Netflix. What did you think, Lamar?
I'll just say this. When a movie opens up with a quote on a screen that's from Pablo Escobar that says, "The only man I was ever afraid of was a woman named Griselda Blanco." You wow. know you are in for something. The same producer and director team that made Narcos did this Netflix series, so they know what they're doing with the drug business. It stars an almost unrecognizable Sofia Vergara as Griselda, who grew up to be the murderous drug lord known as the Cocaine Godmother. Now, the first episode, and it's a six-episode series, the first episode shows Griselda taking her three children and fleeing from her husband to Miami from Medellin, Colombia, in 1978. She did take a kilo of uncut cocaine with her so she could get a new start in America. Now, this is not exactly how it happened in real life, but this is a fictional TV series based on a very true story, but it's not a documentary. If anything, I think the series might have downplayed just how ruthless Griselda Blanco was in real life. As a woman in the macho drug culture run by ruthless macho hombres, you don't get the nickname Godmother, rise to the top with a net worth of $2 billion in the 80s by charm and being a good conversationalist, okay? You get it by murdering anybody that gets in your way or crosses you or fails to follow your orders. Loyalty comes from respect, and respect comes from fear. Now, the movie does show how determined Griselda had to be to get to where she was. The men tried to not take her serious at their own peril. She was smart. She had a plan. She was not afraid of violence, and she refused to stop. Now, while this is going on, a second story is happening. There's a woman detective named June. She is played by Juliana Aiden Martinez. She has been promoted, but only because she speaks Spanish. And all they really want her to do is just, you know, tell them what the Spanish-speaking criminals are saying. But she's very smart. She's very energetic. But her male counterparts refuse to take her seriously until her theory of a woman running the drug business winds up not just being a, quote, stupid idea. There are six episodes. They're 48 minutes each. It's rated TVMA. Now, I don't know exactly what TVMA means, but this has bloody violence, decapitations, blood, and some more blood, language, every possible word using every letter in the alphabet, nudity, a whole bunch, drug use, do you have to ask? Smoking, the most realistic smoking I have ever seen on a TV screen in years. I went for a chest x-ray after the second episode and started using Chantix. I'm telling you. I mean, these people are smoking. They smoking more than my daddy did. And he only lit one cigarette in the morning. He lit the rest of them off of his other ones. I mean, oh my gosh, this is crazy. But is this the best drug running movie ever? No, but it is good because of the true story behind it. But what really makes it worth watching is Vigera's performance. She is, like I said, unrecognizable under the prosthetics, including face, nose, false teeth. Very realistic, but nothing like the real Blanco. If you've seen a picture of her, she was a hard woman. But what it does do is keep you from seeing and thinking Gloria from Modern Family. You don't think about that because of the way she's made up. She owns this part. And it could not be any more different than it was from the one she played in the sitcom. I mean, she was great at that. And you're actually pulling for her at the start. And even when she becomes more ruthless and more violent and transforms into the murderous drug dealer, you can't take your eyes off of her. We all know she's a great comedic actor, but now she has proved she can do anything and do it well. My score on this is 5 ice cold buds. Yeah. It is worth sitting down and watching. I mean, and once you start it, you can't stop it. It's awesome. Awesome.
Really, Lamar, is. I watched it and I agree with every single thing you said. You left out one detail. There's what? Language, every vowel, every consonant in two languages. So yes. What you miss in English, you'll catch in Spanish.
And you know, the way they speak, what would you say, Sherry, 90% spoke everything spoken in Spanish?
That's what's so fun to watch, because it must be amazing for Sofia Vergara to be not only doing a serious role, but in her native language. It's got to be such a blast. It's if you didn't know, you wouldn't know it was her, I swear.
No way.
But it's interesting. You just said that you're pulling for her, even though she's this horrifying monster. I just read this article the other day about how we as consumers of movies and TV shows, and really in real life in some cases, pull for the bad guys. Because there's something about a bad guy who's getting away with something that is appealing. It could be Al Capone. I mean, there are websites dedicated to Al Capone, and you look at some of the comments, and it's like, that's when a man was a man. He killed people with baseball bats, you know, and Tony Soprano, and the list goes on and on, whether they're fictional or real life. And evidently, you're telling us that she's another one, huh?
Yep.
I would agree with your 5 bud score. But folks, remember he's referring to Budweiser, not another kind of bud in this particular case.
Yep.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
All right, we have our winners for the Bob and Sherry Burn That Bill contest. You are going to be outraged at what these people are being put through. Our first winner receiving to $500 to burn her bill is Michelle. She said, back in June, I had to have some skin cancer removed off my back. My insurance paid for part of the surgery, but denied the claim for pathology. WTF, they cover the removal of the skin, but won't cover to have it tested. She got slapped with a $1,200 bill for that.
Whoa.
Then we've got Julie, our next winner. She got a water bill for $793.45 this month. She said, I called the company to ask about it, and they said, yeah, we came out, and we noticed it was high, and you didn't have a leak at the meter, so we put a note on your account. And Julie said, well, that's good. Did anybody ever think it might be a good idea to contact me to let me know? And the employee said, no, we just put a note on the account. And Julie said, oh, good, because, you know, since I call every day to ask about your mama and them, then you could just tell me I had a note on my account. Does that make sense?
That's a good sense of humor.
Do really are our people. Then there's Barbara T. She's got a Duke Power bill. They said if she doesn't give them $443 today, they're going to shut her power off in February. Barbara goes, I'm 70. I get only $740 a month from Social Security. I can only work part-time. I got behind because I can't always work and I have a $420 a month car payment. I struggle on a daily basis. I listen to your show on the mornings when I go to my job. Well, girl, we're going to help you pay off that power bill so the company doesn't turn your power off. And finally, our last winner, Yolanda, who said, I just had the 1969-era windows replaced in my house. I'm a single mom with a college student working full-time to take care of both of us. Money's tight right after Christmas, and now the bill is due. The total was $4,500. Having an extra payment for them would be a huge help. Please consider me for the contest. Congratulations, Yolanda, Barbara, Julie, and Michelle. And
that's
Julie,
great.
You keep giving the water company hell. How dare they? How dare they just put a note on your account and not tell you like you're the amazing Kreskin? How the heck were you supposed to know? That is an outrage. Outrage.
I would love to know how that bill got so high. $700 for water is kind of unheard unless she's got dual swimming pools, which I seriously doubt. Good Lord.
She doesn't, and there was no leak. I'm having a thing with our water bill. It's sexy utility talk time on the Bob and Sherry Show. But I'm having a thing with our water bill where every other month it's like checkerboard it. One month it's the right amount. The next month it's insane. And I called and they said to me, well, you know, are you like, do you have a lot of guests? Are you filling a pool? Yeah, every other month I fill a swimming pool all year round. That's what we do. And on the months when we're not filling a pool, we're running an illegal courtyard by Marriott here. And these guests really take some showers. Like, just absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
So congratulations to all of our Burn Your Bill winners. All deserving of it. Now, let's chat a little bit more about Griselda, which the People's Movie Critic reviewed and really loved it and gave it five buds. There is a scene in the toward the end of the first episode where Griselda, she has fled her abusive husband. He's done something unspeakable that I will not tell you because I don't want to spoil it. But she's taken her boys and she's fled Colombia and she's in Miami staying with a friend. And she's desperate. She's got to get on her feet. This mom and all of her sons are sleeping in one room in this acquaintance's house. It's a bad situation. Griselda has no money, no prospects. So she's got a kilo of cocaine. That's what she's going to start her life with in America. And there's a scene toward the end of it where she walks into this swaggy Miami nightclub where the local drug kingpin is holding court. And she confronts him because she wants to be his supplier. Now, the problem is she just left a really ugly drug dealer shootout. She is spattered with blood. And she walks in there and all these like club, you know, customers, they're all like they're all beautiful and they're there to dance and whatever. They are looking at her like they can't believe what they're seeing. And she wears that blood and that mayhem like it's a designer dress. I mean, she
That's
just
great.
Owns it.
And that you have is to, great.
You have to think to yourself what kind of stones it would take to push past the bouncer, walk through that crowded club, and confront that drug lord. It is an incredible
because it could go a lot of different ways. You know what I mean? I mean, it could be very intimidating because of the way you look. Or, you know, one of those guys could look up and said, what is this shooter? She doesn't know.
Yeah. And she, you know, it's a game of chicken, life and death stakes. And she stares it down. It's so good.
The true story of the real Griselda is even more intense. I'm actually doing the true story on the Talking Lamar podcast coming up.
Good.
And there is, this was a bad woman. A bad woman.
Bad girl. The baddest of the bad girls. Yep. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Kohl's. Shop Kohl's and Kohl's.com today.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Pete Lee.
I love being in Canada because it's after 1 p.m. right now, so most of you are drunk. And I'm not a very good drinker. I'm your friend that if I have like three or more alcohols, I'm like, you don't even love me. I'm not a manly man. I know I look like a quarterback, but inside I am all cheerleader. Like, if I was strangling one of you, you'd be like, oh, your hands are so soft. Oh, death tickles. All I want is to be, like, more of a bad boy, right? Like, a real troublemaker, you know? But, like, look around this room. No woman in here right now is looking at me like, oh, man, I bet Pete would ravage me all night. But there are women looking at me like, I bet Pete has good penmanship. And I do. Here's what I'm like. Have you ever been on your toilet, right, and your bathroom door is shut, and you're like, I am all alone, and then all of a sudden your cat's paw comes under the door? You know that moment where your cat's like, hey there, buddy. Why aren't we hanging out right now? I want to hang out with you so bad. That's what I'm like with friendship. Yeah, I can be a bad boy, though, ladies. Row. Like, I got into a tussle the other day. Yeah, I got into a tussle with one of those motion sensor sinks. Do you guys tussle with that technology? That's the worst technology on the planet, because we're all intelligent people, but it makes you feel stupid because you're standing there waving your dumb hand like, how pale am I? This thing's looking at my hand like, nah, that's just more sink. Just judging my bone white ivory hand. I'm standing there waving my dumb hand. It's giving me no water, but motion sensor hand foam is like, eerie, eerie. I'm here for you, buddy. Eerie. I'm talking to it. I'm like, I can't use you yet because I don't have water from your friend. Eerie. I'm like, ugh. Paper towels are like, so what do? You try different hand motions, right? You're like, I'm gonna go really slow. I'm gonna go really fast. And I'm like, hey-ya! But then you finesse it like a little bit. And it rewards you. It's like squirt. You're like, oh. So that's what gets you going. Eerie, I was watching. Me too. I have a girlfriend who's female. Yeah, woo, all right. Here's the problem is I'm a feminist. I love women. I used to live in one. But women don't want a feminist in the bedroom, right? They don't want that. They want a Viking that knows limits, you know? They want a psychic Viking, right? I don't know how to talk dirty in the bedroom. I'm like, yeah, do you like that? Do you like that? Okay, just checking. The other night, my girlfriend, she goes, what do you want to do to me? And I was like, I'm going to get you pregnant. And then, you know, just like be there for you. When we first got together, she goes, what are you into, like, in the bedroom? And I was like, consent. Yeah. I have a huge consent fetish. I love consent so much. How much do I love it? I love consent so much, I don't even use those credit card chip readers until it tells me that I can. If you ever try to put your card in too early, it's like, quack, quack, quack. I'm like, whoa, I'm not a bad guy. I respect you. But every single time, I'm just standing there all hesitant. The cashier's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm waiting for you to tell me that I can put it in. Every time, she's like, oh, let me do it. All right, you guys, I'm Pete Lee. Thanks for being a great crowd. Thank you.
He's funny, but he is every woman's nightmare. Honestly.
He has his own very specific pacing. Like, there's a Pete Lee vibe that you got to get. Yeah. You can find that set at BOBANDSHERI.com. And if you're like, oh, I'm running late, I missed the People's Movie Critic, you can find his review there too. BobandSherry.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
I read this article in the New York Times the other day, and here is the headline. I was addicted to my smartphone, so I switched to a flip phone for a month. Was it inconvenient? Yes. Did texting drive me crazy with this thing? Yes. Was it worth it? Absolutely. That is an interesting idea. I can't tell you how many times I've said to myself, you're getting addicted. You know, I'll be in the sandwich shop. They're making my sandwich, and I'm going, I got to look at something right now. Let me check. I already know what the stock is. I got to check. What's the temperature today? Let me get the update on what's going on in the news. Or it's the same news that I just saw about 5 minutes ago. And I'm going, stop it. Just sit there, look around, and look at people's faces. Look at the potato chip bag. Do something outside of staring with your head down at that telephone. So this person did this for a month, and she's staying with it. And she said the main reason it works and you're able to cut yourself from doing what I just described or something just like it is the screen is boring. The screen is boring. So, you know, if you flip it open, yeah, there's nothing there that says, hey, look at me. Hey, look at me. You're back to looking at whatever is around you. I don't think I'm going to do that, but I have given that thought. What did you just say, Lamar?
We're lost. We can't. I mean, we're lost. By the time you think you're addicted, you've been addicted for 2 years. I mean, we're lost. I don't know how to stop it. I don't know.
My wife, the other day, I was at a different supermarket than I normally shop in. The phone goes off. Where are you? What are you doing? And I thought, what am I doing wrong? Does she think I'm at a strip club? You know, I call her. What's the matter? I'm just at this other supermarket. Oh, I just saw you. I was tracking you. Come on. It's too much. I swear I'm going to go to a flip phone like this, lady. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, oddcast, fun size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
It's talk back time. Now, you can call on the phone, like some people still do, at 844-52-SHERRY. That's 844-52-SHERI. And have you noticed that it has been like a minute since you've heard someone say, call us toll free? Because when was the last time, unless you're calling outside the country, you paid for long distance? Think about that for a second.
It's true.
Think about how your whole life TV commercials have been yelling at you to call toll free. And now suddenly it's like, oh, that part where we were like ripping you off to call over one state. I'm sorry about that. We're done with that. We don't do that anymore. So 844-52-SHERRY, or if you have our app, it's free in Google Play in the App Store. You can download that, listen to the show and all the podcasts, tap the little microphone in the bottom center of the screen and talk, and the app will do all the work.
Hey, Bob and Sherry, Max, Doc, and Lamar. It's Annie from Forsyth, Georgia. I had to call because I was listening to one of your podcasts on the way home from last week, and I almost had a panic attack. I'm just going to be honest, because I don't know how this slipped my mind, but I forgot about cicadas, sort of, and now I am terrified because I remember very well 13 years ago in Central Georgia when we had cicadas, and it was a nightmare, a horror movie. They were everywhere. You walked on them. They were got in your hair. They were all over the place. And the sound is just, it is like a horror movie. So now on my way home, after a day at work, I'm like, oh, great. Now what am I going to do? I'm going to have to escape from the cicadas. So I call my husband, and I'm like panicking, like, I've got to leave. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I cannot deal with the cicadas. I'm going to have to go somewhere. He's like, where are you going to go? I'm like, I have no idea. So I need your help, guys. We need some kind of cicada escape plan where we can, like a resort where we can go and stay while the cicadas are down here. And then, you know, go back home afterwards. But I don't know. I just don't think I can do it. It really was a horror movie to me. And on top of that, my daughter, who's, you know, majoring in forensic entomology, just got a cicada tattoo. She's carrying me as age. You know, I'm like, so you're going to have a cicada on your body for the rest of your life? I wouldn't even want to look at a cicada for 2 seconds. Anyway, I am terrified. So if you have any suggestions of how to escape the cicadas in Central Georgia, please let me know. I hate them. They're about like, you know, the water bugs and the roaches to me. All right. Love you guys always. Have a great day.
I am not going to be the one to call Tony to ask for money for a cicada resort getaway for all of our listeners. I'm not going to be the guy that asked for that money.
It was hard enough when we asked him during the first COVID lockdowns for a bidet a day in May. He's like, every day for the whole month, a bidet a day.
Right.
So now who's going to call Tony and go, so we want to do a giveaway to a cicada free zone. What do you think?
Do you know what happened?
And I'm not sure what a cicada free zone would even be right now.
They won't be one. They're coming. They're coming for all of us.
They're coming.
You can't get
Some people are so freaked out over insects. You know, I used to kill them when I was in college as an exterminator's helper. So I just never had it. The other day, I don't like it when I hear women screaming, except in certain situations. But I don't like high-pitched screaming, especially from women. I'm in the other side of the house. Madison is in the back TV room with Mary and the dogs. And I'm not going to try to replicate it completely, but it's like, the two of them just screaming. And I went, oh, my God, an animal got into the house, or there's a crazy man in the house. I go running back. There's one bug walking across the floor. And of course, and they're screaming, Bob, Bob, Bob. And I come in and I get rid of the bug. And I just go, do you know how upset I am right now? I thought something awful was happening back here. And it was you two.
The people, because brood, it's brood X, and then what's the other brood, Lamar, that's coming? Because it's been all over.
Brood 13 and brood 19.
Yeah, it's been all over social media.
Oh, they coming. I've
seen people talk about, you know, if you deep fry them or roast them, they're really delicious. And my dog loves to eat them. I know the day could come.
What is it?
I know the day could come where we would have to eat and roast cicadas. And you think that would never happen to you, but I promise you, the human instinct to survive is strong. And if civilization collapsed and all you have was a cicada, buddy, you'd eat it with relish. But
literally with relish. Yeah.
Literally, which is the only, by the way, that's the only way you could even eat relish is if there was a cicada involved, because that stuff's nasty.
That's true.
But to just go out and fish one off the driveway for funsies? No. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. No.
More cicadas, Madison? No. Okay.
A million per acre. They say some places will have a million per acre.
That is kind of frightening.
Munchies have red eyes. They got the red eyes. They coming.
Lamar, you're traumatizing our listener who is already traumatized. Could you not hear it in her voice? All right, we got some more talk back straight ahead. It's Bob and Sherry.
Come visit the Bob and Sherry store. Wish you were here. To find great deals down every aisle. Wish you were here. We wish you were here to get the Book of Bob, Cooking with Cats, Bob and Sherry grocery totes, phone cases, shirts, nightshirts, caricature mugs, scones from the Scone Goddess, water bottles, True Weird Stuff merchandise, and more. We wish you were here for the time of a lifetime. The Bob and Sherry store on the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
Okay, so we have another talkback message. And if you want to call the show, we turn the phones on and leave them on 24/7, which is a joy for Max at 844-52-SHERI. Or you can grab our app. It's free in Google Play and the Apple Store. And just tap the little microphone in the center bottom of the screen and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hey, Bob and Sherry and the whole crew. Love your show. Been listening since 2007. The other day you guys were talking about the first movie you saw that was rated R. And my first movie, I believe I was probably 5 or 6 years old, was Major League. My mom was out of town, so my dad decided to let me watch that. And I eventually became obsessed with Charlie Sheen and the song Wild Thing. And my mom could not figure it out why. And then one day when I was singing Wild Thing again, she's like, where did you hear that? And I said, oh, I watched Major League. And she said, when did you watch Major League? And I said, with Dad. And she freaked out. It was hilarious. My dad got in huge trouble for that. But yes, that was my first rated R movie, and I totally remember it. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Wasn't that the movie that there was a scene between Willie Nelson and the blonde bombshell from that period, Jenny McCarthy, wasn't there? And there was, I can't really tell you what the conversation was, but it was definitely not appropriate for, you know, a middle school girl. Do you remember?
I haven't seen, Lamar might. I haven't seen Major League in so long.
Major League didn't have Willie Nelson.
I don't think so, no.
It didn't have it? Okay, all right. I guess I'm thinking of it.
It had Wesley Snipes and it had Charlie Sheen and Tom Berenger.
Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've seen more baseball played in movies than I've seen baseball played as a game in real life when I sit here and think about it. Because there are some baseball movies like Bull Durham and Field of Dreams that you will just watch over and over again. The Natural, like if I'm popping channels and one of those movies is on, I'm like, oh yeah, I like a baseball movie. But to go to a baseball game, because they last roughly maybe 2.5 years or so, they're so long
to watch a
baseball game.
They've shortened them.
Yeah, Max is right. They have shortened them. That is the hardest topic to get made in Hollywood, by the way, or one of the hardest topics to get made as a film.
Baseball?
Baseball movie. Yeah, because my daughter Allie, when she was in college, somehow snared this internship in Los Angeles with a film production company. I think it was Fox. And she was right near the executive offices, and they were all very nice. Most of the time she was going out to get coffee and filing and that sort of thing. But they ask everybody in their office and on their staff, come up with one pitch. What would you like to see made into a movie? And she couldn't come up with anything, so she called me. And I said, tell them to, I was just finishing a biography of Mickey Mantle, who had a very troubled life. I mean, he came from nothing in Oklahoma. He becomes the biggest athlete in the world, but he struggles with being a father. He wasn't a really good father. He's cheating on his wife. I mean, then alcoholism, severe alcoholism. And I said, it's a real drama. And so she pitched it, and they said, yeah, I don't think so. Baseball movies just don't sell. And I said, go back in there and tell, it's not about baseball. It's about a guy and you know, what he was as a father and a star at the same time and how he got together with his kid later in life and all. And they just didn't want anything to do with it.
How can they say baseball movies don't sell? I feel like The Bad News Bears was a hit. I know Field of Dreams was a hit. And Major League and The Natural and Bull Durham. And I know I'm missing about 1,000 baseball movies here. Like, how can
you're
they
not,
say
though.
That?
Because there are hundreds of movies that are released a year, and you're talking about a few movies that were made over decades. There's just not a ton of them. And a lot of those movies, like Bad News Bears, is that
each
really
one of them
is
memorable,
about,
but there's not a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's about kids more than anything else. And Field of
the
Dreams, it's almost sci-fi, you know?
I mean, The Sandlot, like... I guess what I hear what you're saying. These are movies where baseball is a metaphor or baseball is running in the background. Although I felt very strongly that Bull Durham, while it was a love story, was also very much about baseball. Like they did spend a lot of time playing baseball in that movie. And Major League, I feel like the whole thing was on a baseball field. But no, I hear you. I never thought about it until today that most of the baseball I've watched in my life has been in a movie. Not on a field.
I think there's a lot of people don't live near a major league stadium, and they don't see it either. You know, there's only so many cities.
I try when my girls were tiny. I was like, "What do you think about T-ball?" And they were like, "Ew, no." So that was that. Like, I didn't even have T-ball kids. All right, straight ahead. You know what happens when you fall in love, and then you get your heart broken? It leaves a real mark. That's next. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by BritBox? Unbox BritBox and escape to the best of British TV.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this. I cannot believe this.
Well, welcome to Love Month. And guess what? It turns out that love leaves a mark. It leaves on your brain. So you are thinking about the person that you love and you're looking forward to seeing them. Maybe you're looking forward to getting home from work or looking forward to meeting them at the restaurant for dinner, whatever it is. When you think about that person that you love, your brain gets flooded with dopamine, which is the same thing that your brain gets flooded with when you're craving sugar or nicotine, right? Or substances. And it's like lighting up your brain's reward center. And it is motivating you. Never mind this traffic and this bad weather and that you've had a long day. You're going to be seeing your person. Now, if that same dinner was with just a coworker or an acquaintance, your brain isn't flooded with those kinds of like feel good chemicals. Your reward center isn't lighting up. Yeah, you're glad to be having dinner with your buddy or whatever, but it's not the same thing as it is with a person that you love. And that is kind of like a signature, a chemical signature in your brain that shows that this is someone that you want to be with more than you want to be with anyone else. And when you hook people up to these neuroimaging technologies, you can watch in real time as their brains go wild just holding their beloved's hands, which is very romantic, don't you think? Right?
Yeah.
That your brain would just go wild just when you're holding hands. But here's the thing. When you break up and you're apart, even if you're not broken up, but let's say you're separated, you know, it becomes a long distance relationship for whatever reason. He or she deploys, you know, or has to go to the other side of the country for a job.
Yeah. Right.
When you get reunited, that chemical signature in your brain, it's almost completely gone. And it has to be reset all over again. But this is good. So this is kind of like, on the one hand, you're like, well, that's not good. But it is kind of good news for people that have gone through a very painful breakup. Or maybe even they've lost someone. Like their life partner has died. And so the brain is trying to protect you from being heartbroken by this loss, this breakup, forever by resetting your brain. Doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while. And for some people, it takes even longer. So we've all known, I think, haven't you, someone that just could not get past a relationship ending? Have you known anyone like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for years, maybe forever. I know a couple of people. I think it's been forever.
Prolonged grief disorder. That's what it's called. Yeah. We have a former coworker that has this, I think. Like their brains, their dopamine and their reward centers and all of that, it doesn't reset as quickly or maybe even at all. So that breakup for them is this eternal state of heartbreak and suffering.
You know, it's not always just heartbreak and suffering. Sometimes it is a pissed off embarrassment. Like, I didn't think you were going to leave me, especially if it's a divorce. You have embarrassed me. And I know of a situation like this, and this person will never get over it and will be bitter to the end.
Well, that's like a slightly different part of the brain.
It is.
Than this hijacked dopamine flood reward system. But here's why this is important for people that they just are drowning in endless, unrequited love. They just can't get past it. They just can't get over it. Knowing that this works this way means that we may be able to develop treatment that will help people move on. Not people that are lost in anger and bitterness. That's completely different. People that are just unable to move through the grief of the loss. Because, and this is, like, on the one hand, you're like, oh, this is so sad. But on the other hand, it's amazing that love changes your brain. It changes who you are. It would just be awful to get kind of stuck there, wouldn't it?
It would, yes, without a doubt. I mean, we just, at some point, I think not everybody's been hurt by a breakup or anything, but I think most people at one time or another have been. And you've just got to get out. You have got to put it in the rearview mirror and start all over again. And I think
But for these people, they can't.
I know.
But that's what we're saying here. Like, these people, their brains are stuck. So giving them pep talks and get on out there and there's a million fish in the sea, it's meaningless to these people. They're stuck and they're suffering, and now we can help them.
Yeah, that's great.
And be thankful. Be thankful that as we enter Love Month. Sometimes everything is wrong. Yeah, that this isn't you.
Now it's time to sing along when your day is
high. I mean, wouldn't it be terrible to have your brain stuck in that heartbreak?
Hang on. I'm going to go. I'm just going to cold call someone I used to know for a few minutes. She's still in here. Well, thank you. Yeah, I hope that works.
And if you think you've had too much of this life, hold on, because this repair to your hijacked dopamine is coming, Love Month lovers. Take us out, R.E.M. Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
I was on some website the other day, and the headline was, "New trend for the wealthy, leaving their windows open so others can see inside the house." And I went, what? Evidently, wealthy people, like in New York City, if they have a brownstone, or in California, or in your hometown, they have a really nice house, they're not closing their blinds. They're leaving them open day and night. So as you walk by or drive by the house, you're going to look in and see how nice it is. And I thought, wow, if I had a lot of really nice stuff, I don't know if I want people looking in. And then I also thought about, we have a nice house, and we have a front door that's all glass, you know. And I think it looks nice. Mary's done a nice job with the living room you can see in. But boy, I can remember when I didn't have very much and I was just coming up. Here's why I didn't leave the, you know, windows open all the time. Because I had like secondhand furniture that looked like junk and a cheap Herculean couch in rust color. You know, who would want to look in there and say, oh, that's nice? No, they would look in there and say, boy, this guy's struggling. That's the guy that's on the radio, isn't it? Have you seen the inside of his house? You can walk by it, you look in. I mean, he's got no artwork on the wall. This guy's got nothing. But for the rich, it's just a thing that they're doing. Why do you think they're doing it? Is it a, hey, look at me? Is it to make the neighborhood, you know, look more interesting as you walk by? What's the reason for that?
Maybe they're letting in more light.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the style right now. And the first thing I think about when I look at that, first thing I think when I see a house like that is not, oh, they just want me to see how much money they have, or, oh, it must be nice. The first thing I think is, y'all can afford to pay somebody to clean this, because it would be animal noses and kid handprints all day long at my house.
That's true. That's very true. Like, maybe a couple of the kids have, you know, left the nest. But anyway, that's what the rich are doing. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry Podcast.
Oh, when I saw this, I was like, this has Bob Lacey written all over it. These are true, legitimate, real, ridiculous titles that nobility has had. Like, for example, you might not realize that Kim Jong-il, which is the late father of Kim Jong-un. You know that one of his many titles, he had a lot of nicknames, but one of his many titles was Eternal Bosom of Hot Love.
And you can see her at the Gentleman's Club on Friday nights at 10 o'clock.
Eternal Bosom of Hot Love. The late Queen Elizabeth. So apparently in the state of Nebraska, it's very common to give famous people or dignitaries or whatever a special Alaska title. And so Queen Elizabeth was given the title Admiral in the Great Navy of the State of Nebraska. And I will remind
Queen
everyone
Elizabeth?
That yes, and Nebraska's landlocked.
Landlocked, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Alaska doesn't have a navy. Here's another one. So King Charles II. So the current King Charles is King Charles III. King Charles II was not popular. He took taxpayers' money and he spent it on mistresses, and he even got exiled from his country. His noble title, and they did this. They did this. They granted him this title to humiliate him, was His Lordship the Mutton Eating King. And he's not alone. King James I of England, who was described by historians as being very wise when it came to small things, but mm-hmm. a fool when it came to big things, mm-hmm. he was granted the title King James I, the wisest fool in Christendom.
Wow.
And current King Charles, the Maasai tribe in Tanzania, when he visited the country in 2012, they gave him an incredibly important title because the Maasai raise livestock and they are extremely protective of, they venerate their cattle. So they named King Charles III, the current King of England, as King Charles III, the royal helper of the cows, which is actually
kind of uncomfortable.
That's actually... Yeah, but it's kind of sweet. Now let's go to Frederick, the Prince of Wales. When he was alive, he was the heir apparent to be the king. But the mm-hmm. problem was he was waiting for his, of course, kind of like Prince Charles had to wait for Queen Elizabeth to die. Prince Frederick had to wait for his father to pass. And so he waited and he waited and he waited. And then he died before his father did. And so after his death, he was declared Frederick, poor Frederick, the Prince of Wales. I think that is the saddest.
That is so sad. That is so sad.
That is the saddest.
That is awful.
Now let's go. Let's stay in England, and we'll go all the way back to King Ethelred. So the rightful successor to be the king was Ethelred's brother, Edward. But he was killed by the Danish in a plot because they were afraid that that England was going to like move on them in a military way. So they killed the real king, and the mm-hmm. one who became the king was 10 years old, and he became known as King Ethelred the Unready, which is really hard. You're going to have
That's
to,
hard
like,
to
you're
lead
never...
men into battle. That's hard to lead men into battle. First of all, the name alone is tough to get behind.
Now, this one's kind of fun. He was the first Duke of Wellington, and he went to Spain, and King Ferdinand wanted to give him a title, but he mm-hmm. thought that calling him Generalissimo, which would be Spanish, it just didn't really make sense for, you know, the Duke of Wellington. So instead, the King of Spain declared him Arthur, the Knight of the Golden Fleece, Wellesley. Even though there was no such thing as the Golden Fleece, it just sounded good. Here's the one that you guys are, this is the last one we're going to do. This is the one you're going to wish you had as your title. Mm-hmm. So he was French, and his name was Gaston of Foix, and he went to Italy, and he led the army, and they beat the Spanish military in a bunch of battles. Mm-hmm. Now he was here for a good time, not a long time. He didn't live a long life because he was forever going to war, right? So mm-hmm. he died in action when he was only 23, and the mm-hmm. royal family of Italy declared him the Thunderbolt of Italy. And that is the best
That's
title
a good one.
Ever.
That is a good one. I still
Tell
don't want to die at 23, but if you got to go out like a thunderbolt. Yep.
Tell me you wouldn't want to be known as Robert, the Thunderbolt of Italy. Now, unfortunately, I can't see any world where they go, Lamar Richardson, the Thunderbolt of Italy. It just doesn't work as well.
Yeah, and it doesn't have the ring to it. It doesn't.
We got your Zippy Zodiac next. It's Bob and Sherry.
Here's Bob and Sherry with Charlie King and the Zippy Zodiac.
Hey, Charlie, how are you today? How's Key West? Everything all right there?
Yeah, it's bright and sunny and cold all at once. So it's kind of a nice combination.
Cold. it's cold. What's cold in Key West this time of year?
Yeah. Cold to us is kind of 69, 70.
Oh, get out of here. We have people in Michigan. 69 or 70. That is delightful. What a great place. Okay. So Sherry is taking care of Kevin right now. We'll join us a little later. Let's start out with Aries. What's going on with Aries?
So Aries, this week, your mind is in sparkle mode. So you're buzzing with inventive ideas that inspire new, exciting goals and dreams. Follow up on the more unusual ones, which could really work in your favor to earn bonus points for someone very important.
I love the concept, the spark. What did you say? Sparkle ideas?
Sparkly ideas.
I'm going to remember that. I'm going to use that with my wife. Sweetheart, I have a sparkle idea that we have to embrace for this weekend. Taurus the Bull. What's up for Taurus?
Taurus, this week, you could seek someone's support, or it's you that will be called upon yourself to take a leadership role. So embrace this opportunity to shine, but make sure not to take on so much that you end up feeling burnt out by the weekend.
Yeah, I just hate taking on the responsibility to shine. You know, it's such pressure when you come right down to it. Good luck, Taurus. Gemini.
Yes.
Gemini, this week, there could be an important application for you to consider, and it might be something like a passport or a job promotion or a credit card or just some kind of permit. So go ahead, put yourself forward and send it out for a quick and positive response.
Hey, you're a Gemini? Yeah. There's a possibility for a job promotion for you here in the Bob and Sherry Show. Now, it would be driving Kevin to the hospital, you know, but that's about all we got.
Sky's the limit, baby. Sky's the limit.
Yeah, that's right. We're up to Cancer now. Cancer.
Cancer, a thought that sticks in your mind could be anything from song lyrics on repeat to some kind of obsession with achieving a personal goal. So as long as it's positive, go with it and channel your mental fixation to work in your favor.
Very good. All right, we're over to Leo the Lion.
Leo, this is the perfect week to address any issues that you may have with others. Be mindful of communication hiccups and approach everything with patience. And this applies to paperwork too, so be cautious with contracts and get a second pair of eyes to look over something if you're not sure.
That sounds like a stressful period. I mean, when you started it off, what did you say? Addressing some issues with people?
Yes. Yes.
Confrontation. I hate addressing issues with people. Oh, man, I hate it. I will pay somebody to take that. Finally, me. Kind of outed myself there a little. Virgo, the Virgin.
Virgo, this week is about organizing your to-do lists, catching up with bill paying, and streamlining your everyday tasks with some kind of superhero efficiency. And it's also a great time to book wellness checkups and adopt a Zen habit that helps you stop from getting stressed out by other people's mindless chatter.
Exactly. It's like you're looking into my head. That's right. Libra.
Libra, this week, your mind may be easily distracted and you need more exciting and unusual things to chew over than just regular work and life. There's something like the stock market might catch your eye, or you just want to be more of a social butterfly. So keep the good vibes flowing and sprinkle in some self-care too.
All right. We're over to Scorpio, who are passionate, stubborn, resourceful, and brave people.
We
What's
are
up
not.
For them?
Scorpio, this week is about deep, serious, intense communication. And this is a tricky energy that might actually add some extra drama into the mix when an issue from the past comes back around yet again for what seems like the millionth time.
Charlie, can I just say that every week you're absolutely right about me? It is. If anybody is like just sort of casually listening, this is always spot on.
That's excellent. That's good to know. Sagittarius.
Sagittarius, it's all about following up on new interests that are more progressive. And this could include learning a new skill in technology. Just make sure to prevent your mind from going on a curious little detour or getting too distracted with things like phone calls, messages, and errands that could end up setting you back.
All right. Good advice. Capricorn.
Capricorn, in areas of collaboration, be it business or personal, the pace fluctuates. It's like a blend of the turtle and the hare. So try to embrace the more leisurely approach and scale back for 1 week. It's not going to hurt anybody.
Very good. Aquarius.
Aquarius, with your mind jumping around this week like a kangaroo on caffeine, try not to overthink too much. The positive, though, is that you can navigate things like debates, meetings, and interviews with mental energy. So go ahead and let your weirdest words fly.
I love that expression, jumping around like a kangaroo on caffeine. I'm going to use that. I'm going to steal that. And finally, Pisces.
Pisces, you enter a more reflective phase this week and your mind dives into personal life and past chapters. So explore behind the scenes and learn lessons of your personal history without dwelling on anything for too long, because the past is just a place for you to reference and not to reside.
And there we are, the Zippy Zodiac. Will you do me one favor, Charlie, before you leave? Will you pronounce in the beautiful way you do the word P-A-S-T?
Past.
I just love that.
I love it.
I love it. Thank you, dear. Have a great day in Key West, Florida. This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
We are glad to be with Passenger in England. We're here in the U.S. His new album is called Songs for the Drunk and Brokenhearted. And I don't know if you read some of the PR releases about you, but this one line really caught my eye, and I so identified with you. You did not apply yourself at school in Brighton and spent time making music. I did embrace that. Middle school was never a good time for me. What was your life like during that period?
That's a very good question. Yeah, you know what? I think it's a really tough time for a lot of kids around, you know, like you're going from being a kid and into an adult. That's a painful experience for a lot of people, I think. And I just found it very difficult to concentrate on all the things I was meant to be concentrating on, and I just wanted to make music and play football and do other things. And I think it just got to the stage where I felt so good when I was writing songs and performing, and mm-hmm. I knew that I'd found what I was passionate
about. The direction.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and something exactly. that I really wanted to apply myself you know. So I think I dropped out of school when I was 17, and that was kind of a difficult time for my parents, I think. Oh, you know, yeah. If your teenage son comes and says he's dropping out of school and becoming a musician, it's probably a worry for most people. I get that. But I think as soon as they saw that I was serious about it and that I was working really hard, and I think they've been super supportive with it, really.
So you were busking, which if people who don't know that term, that's a street musician, basically. So if you were doing that 1 year, what within the last 2 or 3 years when you broke big, what was the greatest moment on stage where you said, I just can't believe I'm appearing here?
Yeah, I don't know. It's difficult. It's difficult to kind of boil it down to one moment. I mean, there's been several pinch myself moments, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as you say, I started as a street musician, so that, you know, that can be anything from playing to a couple of pensioners in the rain, or it can be, you know, a little group of people or a pub or whatever. And you know, suddenly when Let Her Go got big, I was playing to 50,000-60,000 people all over the world at these amazing festivals, and I was you know, on TV shows, and it was just a very, very surreal moment when that kind of flipped from you know, my reality just completely changed overnight, really.
Did you ever have like an overt conversation with your parents about how, see, I did apply myself, it did work out?
I don't think I needed to have that conversation. It was good. They're very proud, and I mean, it could have gone any number of ways. I feel very lucky that it's ended up in this direction. Yeah.
Well, speaking of that song, could you honor us?
I would love to. I would absolutely love to. Yeah, this is Let Her Go.
Well, you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hit the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go. Staring at the bottom of your glass, hoping one day you'll make your dream last. Dreams come slow and go so fast. You see it when you close your eyes. Maybe one day you'll understand why everything you touch surely dies. 'Cause you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hit the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. You're staring at the ceiling in the dark. Same old empty feeling in your heart. Love comes slow and it goes so fast. Well, you see it when you fall asleep, but never to touch and never to keep, 'cause you loved her too much and dive too deep. 'Cause you only need the light when it's burning low. Only miss the sun when it starts to snow. Only know you love her when you let her go. Only know you've been high when you're feeling low. Only hate the road when you're missing home. Only know you love her when you let her go. And you let her go.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for persevering through all the technical problems and singing for us and for everyone listening right now. You have made a lot of people so happy today.
Oh, it's been a real pleasure. And can I just thank you for the support as well. You know, it means an awful lot for me to get my music played in the States. It's a bit of a dream. So thank you so much for playing my music and for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you again, Passenger. Passengermusic.com. We'll post some links up on our Facebook and on our website so that you can download the new record. And you have a wonderful day. Stay healthy, and I can't wait to see you back on the road.
Fantastic. Take care.
This is Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
A man fell through the ice on a frozen Michigan lake in Travis City, and he was rescued after a quick-thinking state police officer used the stranded man's dog to get the rescue equipment to him and pull the man to safety. The body camera that was worn by the police officer, Cameron Bennett, captured the rescue, initially showing that the man was trapped in the frigid waters, just his head and shoulders above the ice, and his dog was standing right there by him. So it shows Bennett, he first tries to throw the rescue disc, but it just doesn't work out. So when it fails, Bennett asks the guy, he says, "Hey, send your pup back this way. Will she come if I call her?" So he finds out the dog's name is Ruby. He says, "Come here, Ruby, come here." Ruby runs over to Officer Bennett. He ties the rope to her. And so then the guy calls Ruby back. Ruby takes the collar, goes back, and she gives it to her owner. He puts it on him, and the guy says, "All right, bring your feet up to the surface by kicking your feet." And he starts pulling in the rope. And the man gets up on the ice. They pull him far enough to where they can reach him. He gets out. He's safe. The dog is safe. Everybody's safe. And it's a very happy ending to what could have been a tragedy. What a great dog.
That is
dog.
So wonderful. That is That's an incredible, great dog. Fantastic dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I love that so much.
Because he goes to the person that would be a stranger to him, but he goes. Yeah. And then he comes back. Hadn't been for the dog. I don't know what would have happened. I don't know.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you what, sometimes we don't deserve them. They're so wonderful.
We mostly don't.
Yeah.
But it's just such a great, great story. I'm looking at Darby going, "If I fall in the ice, what are we doing?" And Darby's going, Yeah, that depends. And I'm afraid of that. Right. I'm really afraid of that.
Yeah.
That's right. This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.